that song, although it speaks of lost folks in our mind, the first thing we think of. Because people do need the Lord. But can I explain something to you, folks? Just because you're Christian doesn't mean you don't need Him. You're brokenhearted. You might be in some pain. You might be in some troubles. The Lord wants you to need Him. Folks, please don't try everything else first before you try Christ. Go to Him first. Everything else will work out. Just go to Him first. I promise you, that's the greatest place you can ever start, is right where the Lord is. Just go right to Him. Well, let's start out this morning with a word of prayer. I'm going to give a little English lesson today. School's getting ready to start up. Thank God you're here, Brother Mark. Let's have Brother Bob. Could you lead us in prayer, please, Brother Bob Schell? Please stand with me as you're turning to Psalm 68, verse 1. Psalm 68, verse 1. The title of the message, Brother John, is Let God. Let God. The verse that we're going to read, just one right now, and I'll have you sit down, is Psalm 68, verse 1. The Bible says, Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Let's pray one more time. Dear Lord, I love you so much today. Lord, I need you. I need you so badly right now, Lord. Please help me. Help me to speak exactly what you'd have me to speak. Lord, I just want to preach well for you today. Lord, please help me to do that. Lord, as always my prayer, let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything today, right now. Lord, I need you here right now. Please help me. Walk through these pews. Walk down this aisle today. Touch hearts. Move hearts today to hear what you've got to tell them. Lord, please. Please bless me today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This, believe it or not, is a complete thought. A complete thought in English can be a sentence. Okay? Very simply, I want to ask you today, what is the subject of this sentence? Now, I won't go to all of you with a microphone and say, what is the subject of this sentence? Because I don't want you to panic and say, because I would probably do the same. Amen? So the subject of this sentence is a funny little thing in school, and it trips kids up all the time, okay? It's a word that's not even there, okay? It's not even there. How many of you remember in high school, Debbie's looking at me laughing right now because she knows how much I love diagramming sentences. Actually, I think that was from the devil too. Along with dentists, diagramming sentences. Amen? All right, the devil knew that if I can get them to diagram sentences, bless God, they'll get out of the scripture and everything. I'm just kidding. But anyways, diagramming sentences. High schoolers love to do that. Brianna Foreman. What is the subject of that complete thought? It's an understood you. An understood you. Bright, shining light in our school right there. I wouldn't have trusted that question to anyone else. I'm just kidding. The Bible says three times in the scriptures. I thought this was awesome. Three times the scripture says, let God. The subject of this sentence is, you. Now, let me explain something to you. God can't be anything unless you let him. Wrap your head around that for a minute. The Lord walked the earth and he actually had to leave a few spots because of what? He actually left and didn't do a great many works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. They didn't let him. Now, the Lord wants to be your Savior. And the reason I sang the song this morning is because I want you to realize that you need Him. I want you to realize that you need Him. Not just the lost and dying world, although yes, they do. I'm talking about you today, Christian. You need God. But the thing is, in our lives, we don't let Him. I'm telling you, I had a wonderful thought given to me by Dr. Gray. We spend so much time talking and so little time praying, it's no wonder we don't get anything done. You know why? We're not letting God. No matter what aspect of your life it is, no matter where you're at, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think there's one fold of your life, one spot where you can say that you couldn't let God do something for you. Not one. I want you to name it. I dare you to name me one spot where you couldn't let God do something miraculous. But you don't let Him. And the reason we don't let Him today, Christian, is because we don't believe that He can. Because in God's honest truth, if you believed that He could, you'd go to Him. Let me help you. In this verse is the first one that the two words let God are right there, and with an understood you let God. You let God arise. Now, my thought is this. What do you mean, let God arise? God should be at the very top of the things that you do. God should be at the very top. And I'm not talking, it doesn't matter what you're doing, God should be there with you. God should be the first focal point of whatever you're doing. No matter what it is, God should be your first thought. We've been talking about in Sunday school attitude adjustments. An attitude adjustment would get you here for Sunday school, by the way. Not for me. I don't care. Let me tell you something. If there's five people up here in the front row, one person in the front row, I will teach the same, I promise you, as any other time. But let me tell you something. God wants to do something great in your life, and it's not by missing church services. It's not. Let God arise. Let God arise to an area of preeminence in your life. Let God arise to a spot where you're giving Him His due diligence. You're giving Him, you're letting God know, you know what, God, you are number one. In your marriages, let God arise. In your marriages, that relationship that you have with your wife or with your husband, let God arise there. In your relationship that you have with your friends, let God arise. When's the last time that God rose up in your conversation with your friend? Let God arise. Oh, there's nothing more uncomfortable to talk about than Jesus. Get comfortable with it. Let God arise. I wonder if Jesus was comfortable while He went up to the cross. I'm sure it was a very, very bad thing for Him to have to face. He didn't care about it. He loved you. Let God arise. God should be at the top. Look at Luke chapter 6, quickly. Luke chapter 6. If you don't remember this verse from Sunday school, let me reintroduce you. Let God arise. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not that the things which I say? We call Him Lord as a convenience. I'm a Christian. Thank you so much. What are you doing for God? When have you let God arise in your life? When have you let God take an area of preeminence in your life? When? And let me tell you something. Don't think for one minute that I'm preaching this to you. Don't think for one minute. The Lord preached this to me. And this happens to me all the time. I'm glad. Most preachers don't go through this. Most preachers are perfect. I'm not. Okay? And let me explain something to you. The Lord deals with me almost every single time with a message before I bring it to you. Because the Lord's telling me, David, I let Him call me that. Lord, I'm sorry. He says, you're calling me Lord, but you're not doing what I've told you to do. He looks down and he says, Brother Dave, I've called you to be my son. I've called you to be a preacher. I've called you to do all these great things, but you're not doing what I've told you to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord says, you need to let me arise. Amen. And what happens in your life when you let Him arise? Turn back to Psalms real quickly. I got to move through these. There's three of them. If you let God arise, His enemies are going to be scattered. doesn't say your enemies, by the way. It says his enemies are going to be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah. You know what that Jah means? Lord, most vehement. Let me explain something to you. You let God arise, you're not going to have to fight much. We worry all the time. If I had a dime for every time I heard this statement, well, why in the world do the good people have to suffer and the wicked are made to go ahead and be good? Why do the wicked are they rewarded and we are the ones that have to fight through all this stuff in this world today? I wonder if we've let God arise enough. I wonder if we've let God come to a place of preeminence in our life, or we worried so much about being sad sacks and moping around all the time that we're getting defeated all the time, yet we haven't let God arise. We haven't let God come to a place of preeminence in our life because we've got too many other things to think about. One of the greatest things the devil can do in your life is make you busy. Understand that. We get so busy, we got no time for God. I can't show up because I'm too busy for God. Lord's preaching this to me. Well, you're a preacher. What in the world, you're too busy for God? Well, you're a preacher. You don't think preachers get busy? We get busy with all kinds of things that take us, our eyes focused off of God. We get busy all the time with things that take, and not bad things. So you got to understand something. You get involved with things that aren't bad things. But you get so busy that God goes out of focus on you. What the Lord would have for you just becomes second rate. I got something so important to do that I can't let you arise today, God. I've got to do my job. The Bible says, you let God arise. You. Understood you. He's saying this to you. I'm telling you right now, personally, you've got to take this personal. What has God meant for your life? Here's the thing. If we would do what God wanted us to do, how great would church become? Now think about that for a minute. How great would church become if we all let God arise to a place of preeminence in our life? God became something greater than a dinner time thank you. You should write that down. Making God become greater than a dinner time thank you. I'll tell you something, folks. People need the Lord today. They need to let him arise. We should do those things that God has instructed us to. Let him arise in your life to a place of stature. Let God be revered. I love when men call themselves reverend. What a joke. There's nothing that sickens me more. Nothing that sickens me more. Reverend David Ballard. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no man that ought to be revered in this world today. Not one. The only one that should be revered is God, Jesus Christ. We get to a place where we look to men and say, well, they must be the greatest thing in the world. We take our eyes off of God because, well, they seem like they're smart people. They've wrote several books. They got to be smart. They've done this. Whatever they say must be true. I've got news for you. Men is all liars. God is the only one that ought to be true. Amen. If it's not coming out of his book, don't worry about it. Just take what's coming out of his book. Let him be revered. Let him be adored. Let him be glorified. Let him be held up. Let him be praised. Let him arise in your life. Turn over to Psalm 70. Let him arise. Psalm 70, verse 1, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backwards and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. The next thing he tells you to let God be magnified. When you get him to a place of stature, you let him arise. We are to magnify him. He commands us, let God be magnified. Now, what happens when you magnify something? You make it bigger. Boy, that's good. How big is God in your life? How big is God in your life? Is God this big in your life? Does he have this much space of your life? Is God this big in your life? Is God this big in your life? How much of your life does God actually have? How much of your life? Now understand this, David is crying out, I am needy, I am poor. There's people out there looking at me saying, aha, aha. And Lord, I need you today. Lord, I want to make you bigger in my life. Because Lord, if I make you bigger, I can't see around you. All I see is you. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Doesn't matter what people think of me. Doesn't matter what they're doing around me. If I look at you, you get bigger. Lord, I am satisfied. I'm going to beg you guys to sit up, please. Thank you so much. We live in a time where God is about the size of a flea in our life. We live in a day and age where we can't help but see everything else that's going on around us because God's not that big. Have you ever looked at a person looking through a magnifying glass at something? Think with me. I want you to visualize this. They take that thing and they're looking right there. They're not looking over here. They're not looking over here. They're not turned around because they got a magnifying glass for a reason. They want something to get bigger. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord desires in a very special way for him to be bigger in your life. To get to a point where, man, if God was that big, listen to me, I want you to think with me for a minute. What if God was as big as this room in your life? It wouldn't matter if you were looking over here, or over here, or over here, or over here. You can still be focused on how big your God is. But our day and age today, we've got one little spot on the horizon that we call God. And we look at that, and if we keep our eyes focused, glory to God, we'll get there if we keep walking. But understand this, the minute you get just a little off, God's gone. The minute you pull your eyes just a little bit off to the side, a little bit off to this side, God's gone. You might say, well, you know what, I'm nothing. I'm in the world, I can't do anything for God. There's nothing I can do for God. I'm just worthless. I'm no good. I'm nothing. I'm a wretch. I'm all these things. Great, you're the kind of person God likes to get. Because look, but I am poor and needy. How many are poor and needy in this room today? If you're not poor and needy, I'd like to talk to you after service. I'd like a loan. Make haste unto me, O God. I'm poor and needy. Lord, please come. You, thou art my help, O God. Thou, my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying. Please hurry fast. I need your help. I need your help today. Understand this. I want you to look at the very next verse, Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me tell you something. If you're going to let God arise, you're going to let God be magnified. Let him be magnified. If you let him be magnified, you let him become a bigger part of your life. It takes away depression. It takes it away. And let me tell you something. Depression is a very real thing that happens in people's lives. I often wonder if we had our focus straight on God, if the world's problems would seem to fade away. If the cares of this world would go dim if you had your eyes focused on a very big God in your life. I wonder if we let him arise to a place that is of preeminence in our life. We let him go to a place that he deserves to be. A place of stature. Number one. And then we magnify him when he gets there. I wonder how great it would be for our lives. Let God, you out there, understood you, you let God. Not understood Brother Dave, not understood Brother Coolidge, not understood Brother Tom, understood you. You, Y-O-U, you let God arise. You let God be magnified. because it comes down to us. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the soul winners. It's not just for the deacons. It's not just for the staff. It's not just for Brother Mark. It's not just for the teachers. It's for every single person in this room. You are you. No matter where you are, you are you. And the Lord's talking to you today. You let God be magnified. You let God arise. I promise you, if you do that, He'll give you victory. He'll give you a place that you can look all the time, a place that you can focus that is meaningful. I'm going to tell you right now, listen to me. You listen to me. I am so sick and tired of hearing about the future of this country. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the stupid presidential race. You've got worthless people. No matter who you throw up there, they're worthless. Why are we so shook up about what's going to happen in politics? Are you kidding me? They're not worth it. God is going to take care of this nation. God is going to preserve His people. Don't you worry about it. You let Him arise and you let Him be magnified. Nothing else will matter. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Obama. I am. I'm tired of it. You get one people, he's the Savior. Here one people, he's the devil. I don't care what he is. He's a human being, dirty, rotten dog, just like the rest of us, that might get put into presidency and won't have an effect on this country anyhow. We need to get our head out of the sand and face ourselves towards God. Why don't we pray God down a little bit? We spend 8 hours talking about politics instead of 8 minutes praying about it. Let me step on your toes a little bit. We need to spend more time talking to God instead of talking to each other. What? You come talk to Brother Dave about him. What am I going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to hunt that man down. Understand this. We need to pray that the Lord takes care of us. He's all we've got. I think we ought to let Him arise and let Him be magnified. Turn to Psalm 34:3. Psalm 34, we'll start in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When you fell down and busted your wrist, Brother Rod, was God the first thing out of your mouth? No, and it'd be pretty tough. You just fell. And you busted yourself up. Praise the Lord. I don't think so. But understand this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's tough. That's a tough bill there if you think about it. There's times when you don't think about it. There's times when you don't think about God. Matter of fact, there's probably more times that you don't think about Him than times that you do. If we would continually have praise for our Lord, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. When is the last time you praised God for something that happened to you instead of bragging to other people about what you did? Think about that for a minute. How can I boast of anything that I've ever seen or done? God has given you everything that you've got. Don't think for 1 minute, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. But God does dwell in you. And that wonderful spirit that's in you does great things. But He doesn't need you to do them. That's why we should praise God for what is done. The humble, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How many of you are afraid today? How many of you are afraid you won't be able to make that next tank of gas? Hey, tank of gas is more than rent now. More than expensive rent. He will take all your fears. I'm afraid of what's going to happen to America. Let me tell you something. I'm afraid for what's already happened to America. But if we seek the Lord, He hears you and delivers you from your fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. Boy, it'd be nice to be lightened today. Oh, how many of you feel like you're walking with a 50-pound bag of potatoes on your back all the time? Just, man alive, it's so hard. This day is so hard. Man, I'm telling you, you come home and The last thing you need is to hear about more problems, but there's probably problems waiting for you there, and that just weighs you down more. And Lord, it's so heavy, this world today. It's so, I lost my job. I don't have insurance, all those things. And those are terrible things. Those are real weights on people. You want to see a man with burdens and drooped shoulders, you give a man, take away his job, where he can't support his family. You know what the one thing men want to do more than anything else is support their family. They tell you what, you say what you want to say. A man is a man when he's supporting his family. That hasn't changed throughout the years. This women's lib stuff can go out and pound sand. Men want to support their families, and women want to be supported. Let's put it where it's at, gals. You'd love to have a man that brought home the bacon and took care of you. And you say what you want. Nah, I want to go out and make my own money. I'm glad you do want to go out and make your own money, but if you had the choice, you'd have a man bringing it home for you. Say what you want. I guarantee you that's what you really feel. If you see a man walking like this, the weight of the world's there. The weight of the world. And men, you know you're almost where you need to be. You're almost there. The weight of the world is there. There it is. You're almost there. A little bit more weight, and there you'll be. Man, the weight of the world is heavy on my shoulders. I guarantee you, David, he felt like this a lot. David, man alive, Lord, please deliver me. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you today. Lord, please, I need you. I'm begging you. I can't make it without you. Lord, I need you. That's where you need to be. Because when you're low, it puts him in a position of arising. When you're low and there's nothing for you to focus on but him, he sure does become magnified quickly. What's sad is we don't talk to him on the way down to our knees. We wait till we get there to talk to him. Let me tell you something. The Lord wants you to talk to him all the time. If he was that big to you and all you saw was him, it'd be nothing to talk to him all the time. But our lives are so filled with other things. Our lives are so magnified with other things that we don't see God anymore. All we see is our other things. But we can never get to this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue. The only time you praise God is when he does something great in your life. How can he do things great if we don't even see him? We don't even look at him. We don't even talk to him. Let him be magnified. We'll magnify him together. Magnify him with thanksgiving. Many wanted Jesus to be Mary wanted Jesus to be magnified. Did you know that? Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." I'm going to tell you right now, Mary was a sweet girl, but she was a sinner. And a lot of Catholics, boy, they hate that kind of talk, but she was not part of the Holy Family. A lot of people say, "Well, Holy Family." Hogwash. She was a girl that was blessed among women. Yes, she was. Sweet girl, and probably very, very good girl, but still a sinner. And it took God to use a sinner as his vessel to get to us. It took God. God is so wonderful and great, we can't even imagine. We want so badly to put him in a test tube that God can't do something. There's nothing that God can't do. Except remember your sin if you're saved. Let others see us magnified. Turn to Psalm chapter 35, one over. Judge me, O Lord my God, verse 24, according to thy righteousness. That's scary. And let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, so we would have it. So would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. This verse is saying something very simple. People can't wait to see Christians fail. They can't wait. They can't wait to say, oh, the world has eaten him up. Oh, that's what he wanted anyways. He wanted that world to eat him up. That's easy. That's just like those preachers. Those preachers, they can't keep themselves right. You're right, we can't. We're a mess. But if we can magnify God, and when God brings us through things, we continue to magnify God, the people have no choice but to say, he magnifies the Lord. The Lord had to bring him through. The problem is, we stop midway through the trial. We stop fighting midway through the trial. We continue to want to walk around like this. We continue to want to have the pain and the burden on our backs. We continue to want to do this because we believe that we're strong enough to handle this all on our own. We believe that we can just keep walking this way no matter what. We're going to stop in at the Goodwill and we're going to find a cane hanging on a shelf that we can buy that's going to help us. And Goodwill took the money. Goodwill, right. We'll walk and we'll do the best we can to bear that burden alone, to bear the things that come through our life. We'll work and we'll do those things on our own because, bless God, we're men and we can handle it. We're ladies and we can handle it. We don't need any help with our burden. Understand this. Why do you walk in your burden alone? Why do you walk in yourself having to fight and do those things with your own human strength? Why in the world can't you fight with the Lord on your side? Let God be magnified in your life. Let God arise. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's a whole lot easier when somebody else fights your battle. How many ever had a big brother and the bully was picking on the little brother and you went and got the big brother and said, hey, man, I need help with this guy over here. And the big brother came. It's amazing how quickly the bully goes and runs away. Well, I was the big brother and I was a sissy. How'd that work out? But you didn't have to be tough. Listen to me. This is a good illustration. You didn't have to be tough to win the fight. You just had to show up. Let me ask you a question. Is God magnified enough in your life that he even shows up for your battles? Does God even show up? Do you even invite him? David spends endless thought in Psalms of begging God to show up. God, please be with me today. Please help me today. Deliver me today. Show them that you're great, God. Show them that you can do things, God. Not that David was a chicken. David was not a chicken. David was the whole opposite of chicken. He was the roughest, toughest hombre that I know, short of Jesus. And yet David's begging God all the time to fight for him because he knew that Goliath was not his own victory. He knew Goliath was God's victory. He knew that the lion wasn't his victory. It was God's victory. He knew the bear wasn't his victory. It was God's victory. So he constantly called on him to fight his battles. Let God be magnified. There's one last time. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. We hold in our hands the true word of God. You should have been a little bit more excited about that statement. We hold in our hands the true, pure word of God. That's better. Now, many people don't fight this fight anymore. And what's sad is, when this came into fruition of the big fight over the Bible, which one was right, which one was wrong, many people, because they did not have God in his correct position, they did not have God magnified, they found out that they can just go ahead and make this whatever they want because he's not in the right position and he's not magnified. Now listen, I don't know, and no, neither do you, all the things that this scripture went through to get to us. You don't. You wish you did, but you don't. And I'm going to tell you right now, the greatest thing, the greatest teaching that you can get is this verse that says, let God be true. No matter where you go, no matter what you look at, no matter who's speaking, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's coming another fight. And we need to understand this, that what you hold in your hand, and you got to know why. Why is this the right word of God? Why? Here comes the big problem for us Christians. We can't prove it. What do you mean, Brother Dave? What do you mean we can't prove it? You can't. You weren't there. You didn't see it. You never held the copies of the Hebrew and the Greek. And if you did, what are you going to do with them? Anybody in here read Hebrew or Greek? I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know what Greek says. You don't know what Hebrew says. You have no idea. What would it be? What would it do to you to have those in your hands? He had to give us one in English. And here's what you got to understand is this. You can't prove anything. You can't. You wish you could. We wish we could. We wish we could go to one spot to prove it. But you can't. You can't succinctly say that this is what it is and that's why it is. You know what you got to do? And this is scary. This is so scary, but this is what you got to do. You got to have faith in this as much as you have faith in your salvation. It boils down to faith. That's what it boils down. Let me tell you something. If the Lord gave you a roadmap and set it up where you could see everything that happened with this precious word, what faith would that be? Let me tell you something. Faith is a fight. To earnestly contend for it is to fight for it. And understand this. When the Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar, he's trying to zoom you in on one thing. There's God. I want to be in an area of preeminence. I'm telling you, men, that I want to be held high. I want to arise. Let God arise. You let God arise. When I get to that spot, I want to be magnified. I want to be so big that you'll never even think of straying from this old book. You'll never even think of looking for another version that reads easier. Are you kidding me? What, are you dumb? I don't know a person in here that's dumb, that can't read the Bible. Here's the thing. All knowledge comes from God. He'll probably make a way for you to be able to read His Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do we have that? Let God be true, and every man a liar. Well, Brother Dave, we've heard this 100 times, and you're going to hear it 100 more. Because you got to understand, when you go to read your Bible, it better be perfect. It better be pure. It better be inspired, and it better be preserved. Because if you don't have those things, we have nothing. Tell you something, folks. We're getting to a spot in our Christian lives where we need to hold Him up higher. We need to hold Him up better and then magnify Him once He gets there. And then once He gets there, guess what? Let Him be true. Lord, You're in a spot of preeminence. You're the number one in stature. I'm not going to look at anybody else but You. I'm going to magnify You so I can't see around You. Lord, I just need to be looking at You, and Lord, I'm going to let You be true. No matter what, I'm going to let You be true. Whatever this Bible says, that's what I'm going to go with. Well, Brother Dave, there's some hard verses to understand in there. Let me tell you something. The hardest one for me to understand is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't understand that at all. And if you think you do, you're crazy. I wouldn't give my only begotten dog for most of us in this room. Yet God gave His only begotten Son for you and I. Man, let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true. No matter what He says in here, take it that that's what He wants you to hear. Let God, the greatest thing about the Bible is this. It's not up to any private interpretation. It's not. However, it does mean something to you. And when you open these, it's amazing how the Lord gives you verses that you need. It's amazing how personal this book can become. You can read Tom Sawyer. You can read Huck Finn. Those are fun to read, but they're not personal. This can be personal to your life. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, he says, let God be true. Look at John chapter 3. I want you to turn there real quickly, and I'm all done. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let God be true. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world through him might be saved. Let God be true. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let God be true. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Let God be true, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Let God be true, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, not that they're wrought in him. Not that he's of anything, because God's arisen, God is magnified, God is true, that they are wrought in God. You let God come to a spot in your life where he's bigger than life. You let God come into a spot where he's at the top of your list. And you let God be true. It's amazing how quickly you'll come to the light. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity that it was to stand here today and preach. Lord, please bless the invitation in a very special way. Lord, I did what I could. I'm nothing without you. So Lord, please move in a special way this morning. Show these folks that you love them and you care about them. And Lord, become big to them. Become very big to them. Lord, let them see you instead of all the world's problems. Let them see you instead of all the world's heartaches. Let them see you instead of all the world's sin and corruption. Let them see you. And when they see you, Lord, let them know that you're true. Let them know that you cannot lie and you cannot change. Lord, I thank you so much for the trials that you've brought me through. I thank you so much for the trials that are going on in this room right now that you've given to people to bring them through. Lord, help us. Help us to see you for who you really are, our great and wonderful Savior, the Most High, the Almighty One. Lord, let us look to you today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, please. A few times today we talked about God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And folks, if you're in here today and you don't know that Son, the Bible says very easily, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, you are going to hell today. I can't get you out of it. I wish it could. I wish you were that good that you didn't have to worry about it. But folks, you're sinners, every last one of us. And if you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, you are going to go to hell and burn there forever. And that was a place that was never even meant for you to be. You need to let God arise today. You need to let God be magnified today. And you need to know that God is true. And God tells you if you call upon him, he'll hear you. And he'll save you. And he'll take you to heaven when you die. Because you will die. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. When that judgment comes, are you going to have the judgment that you get to go to heaven? Or are you going to have the judgment where you go right to hell? The Lord cried for you. The Lord painstakingly held his hands out to you. Please come. And today, when your heart's beating real hard in that seat that you're sitting in, it's beating hard because the Lord wants you to be saved today. You say, well, I'm too embarrassed to come forward. I'm too embarrassed. I can't do it. I wouldn't let anybody embarrass me to hell for anything. I wouldn't let anybody keep me out of heaven. There's nobody in this room that wants you to go to hell. You might think, well, they'll make fun of you. Good. Let them make fun. At least you're saved. We can talk about it in heaven. And the people making fun of you will probably be in hell. Because there's not one person that's a saved person that wants to see anybody else not be saved. How many can say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that if I died right now that I would go to heaven. I don't know. But I certainly would like to accept the Lord as my Savior. I see one. Is there another? Don't be afraid. I'm not going to call on you. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's between you and the Lord. Is there another one in you that doesn't know? You don't know for sure. Because if you don't know for sure, I'm very worried about you. You need to know for sure. These things I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in His Son. How many could say, I don't know? How many say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, I know for sure 100% I'm going to heaven. Raise your hand up real big and tall. I'm so thankful I'm going to heaven. Amen. All across the room. This is a silly question. But you know what? I want you to raise your hand to this if this is you. I'm gonna tell you right now, both of my hands are going to be up. How many in this room? And let me tell you, the reason I'm doing this is because I want you to know who you are, and I want you to know where you are right now in your life. How many in this room need to magnify Him, need to have Him arise, and need to let Him be true in your life right now? Put your hands up real big and tall as a testimony. I know that every one of us should have our hands up, but understand this, I want you to know that you need to have your hand up. You may put them down. That's not for me. I don't care about that being for me. That's for God. Your heart's tender. Your heart's good right now. Your heart's ripe right now, ready to serve Him. Let Him be true. Let Him arise and let Him be magnified in your life. Give it over to Him. Let Him have the wheel. Why would we want to drive? We don't know where we're going. But God does. Man, let Him have the wheel. He's the only one with a license. Dear Lord, please bless this invitation in a very special way. Love these people from heaven today. Let them know that you care. And Lord, please, arise in my life. Go to a position of preeminence and stature. And Lord, when you get there, Lord, let me magnify you. Let me make you real big in my life so I can't see anything else around me. And then when you get there and you're magnified, Lord, I want you to be true. I want you to be true. I want to hold you up as the truth in my life. Lord, help me. Help me today to get close to that. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.